I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the founding senior pastor here. So I'm so delighted that you're joining with us on this hot day, as Pastor Taylor alluded to, and also to get some new words in your vocabulary. Fulio, I think, is the word that you use to describe yourself. It's a new term that you might pass on to someone. Welcome to everybody on the patio. Welcome to you online. Thank you for joining with us. We're continuing in a series we've been in the last several weeks called A New and Better Way. I'm really excited about this message because I think it's going to apply to every person here. The context here, we're in 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul is talking about what we have in Jesus Christ is new and better than anything religion offers and anything just in our humanity, anything the world offers. Because when we live a life that's kind of just focused on ourself or our self-perspective, or even a life that's kind of dominated by some kind of religious perspective, it only ends in guilt and shame. It only ends in failure. It only ends in a sense of isolation from God. But the new and better way is what God has provided for us in Jesus Christ. It's a way that's filled with life and hope and with the certainty of eternal life with God. So that's what this whole section is about. And here in chapter 5, where we are, the Apostle Paul is talking about how we are made new in Jesus Christ and we're actually reconciled to God. One of the things that we talk about here at Crossline is that everybody is on a spiritual journey. And I say that not necessarily because I know you or know your background, but because that's what God says. God says He made us in His image, and He made us to be in a relationship with Him. And so every person here on our campus, every person watching online, you're somewhere on this spiritual continuum. You may be a person who has heard and just rejected. You've said no to God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a person who at some point in your life, you heard that, you said yes to it, but it didn't seem to make the difference in your life that you thought it should make, and you're kind of stuck. Maybe you've heard the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ, you've said yes to it, but even now you'd have to admit there's parts of your life that are not right with God. Or maybe you're a person who's in a love relationship with God and you're following Him and you're experiencing this new and better way that God has provided. See, every person is on some type of spiritual journey. And the thing about the passage that we're going to look at this morning is that there is a next step for us. Wherever you may be, there is a next step, and it's a step towards reconciliation with God. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 into chapter 6, verse 2. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I've got good news for every person, wherever you may be in this spiritual journey, wherever you might find yourself in the spiritual continuum. Today is the day of salvation. God is looking at you with open arms. He loves you. He knows everything about you, and He wants to accept you into a relationship with Himself. He wants to reconcile you, whatever has been causing any distance between you and God. God wants to overcome that and bring you to that place where you live in the security of His love and forgiveness and the destiny that He has for you. Because this passage describes some things about our identity, and it describes some things about our calling, and it describes some things about the messaging that we're privileged to give away to others. So, first of all, our identity. This passage says we have a new identity if we become followers of Jesus Christ. He starts off in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Paul expands the scope of what he's talking about to anyone, any person, no matter what their background, no matter what their skin color, no matter what their socioeconomic level, no matter what their religious affiliation may or may not be. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. That's the offer of the good news of the gospel. And that's what God wants to make true for you if you've never come to that realization before. Today, you can experience that newness of life in Jesus Christ. And if you are a follower of Christ, what God wants you to know is the truest thing about you is what he says is true. It's truer than anything you feel. It's truer than anything that you reason together. It's truer than anything you actually experience. The truest thing about you is what God says is true. And he says you're a new creation. And he explains that new creation by saying, old things have passed away and new things have come. So some of the old things that have passed away is that we were dead in sin. We were slaves to our passions. We were blinded by the god of this world. But those are the old things that have passed away. And now new things have come. We've been made alive in Christ. We've been born again spiritually. In John chapter 3, Jesus uses this whole discussion, this whole idea, phrasing of being born again. I don't know if you've watched this new series on the life of Christ called The Chosen. You need to get it. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. But there's an episode in there where Jesus has that conversation with Nicodemus. And they've kind of painted the backstory of Nicodemus he's a Pharisee, but he's curious and he's astounded by what he sees in the life of Jesus. And so he finally has this face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Can you imagine that? Actually sitting down, having a conversation with Jesus. And Nicodemus says, man, I know you're from God because no one can do the things that you do unless they've been sent from God. And Jesus looks him in the eye and says, you've got to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. That's why I say to you, you have to be born again. Well, what Paul is saying here is that's what happens when we are in Christ. We are born again spiritually. We become new creations. That old stuff has passed away. New things have come. We are forgiven of our sins. We're declared righteous by God. We receive the gift of eternal life. We have the certain hope, as he's just said a little earlier in 2 Corinthians 5, that when this earthly body is torn down, we have an eternal dwelling in heaven. We're going to receive a new resurrection body. We're going to be together with every person we've ever loved who knows Jesus. We're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. That's part of that new creation that we have. We have a whole new identity because we've become new creations in Jesus Christ. He goes on to talk about our identity in verse 18, and he says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God has reconciled us to himself. This word is the Greek word katalasso. It means to change or exchange. It's a relationship term, and it's usually describing when there's some type of barrier between people, some type of unresolved conflict that causes an alienation. And then whatever that barrier is removed, so the two people who were enemies now become friends. That's what God has done for us. He's reconciled us to himself. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about this term in a couple other places over in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 5, he says this, much more than having now been justified by Christ's blood, we are saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And in Colossians chapter 1, he says this, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in your mind, you were actually engaged in evil deeds, yet now he has reconciled you through his body being put to death in order to present you before him holy and blameless. So Paul uses these two terms, justification and reconciliation. They just seem like big, maybe theological words to us if we don't have a background and understanding. So let me see if I can give you an illustration. Let's suppose that you commit a crime. You rob a house. And you're guilty. You are the criminal. You actually did it. You robbed this house. And the owner of the home happened to be a judge. Now you are caught and you have your day in court. The charges are read against you. And you look up and sitting behind the bench is the judge who owned the home that you actually robbed. And as a judge, even though you're guilty, he has the say in pronouncing about your crime, and he pounds his gavel and says, not guilty. He makes a legal declaration. Even though you are guilty, even though you did do it, he declares you not guilty. That's what the Bible calls justification. It's a legal term that a judge renders, and that verdict establishes our standing with the court. Our standing with God's court is that we're not guilty because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. That's justification. Now, go back to that same scene. You're standing before the judge. He pronounces the verdict, not guilty. Then he stands up. He takes off his robe. He walks around the bench. He comes up to you. He puts his arm around you and gives you a big hug, and he says, I want you to come back to my house because I want you to be my friend. That's reconciliation. See, reconciliation is a relational term where we once were enemies, we've now become friends. We were God's enemies, the Bible says. The Bible says that we were either actively or passively shaking our fist at God. We were alienated, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been reconciled, and now we're actually friends with God. The truest thing about you is you're a friend with God. You're in a relationship with God. You've been reconciled to God. God isn't mad at you. God isn't trying to get you. God isn't trying to bring things into your life to punish you. He loves you. And the truest thing is that we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ where we've actually been reconciled. We've become new creatures, new creations. We've been reconciled to God. And then he says one more thing about this new identity in verse 21. He says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So in God's great plan for our lives, he put together a plan where Jesus Christ would take all of our sin, everything we've ever done, every wrongdoing, every misstep. And Jesus Christ would take that upon himself, and we would receive the very righteousness of God. Now, this is something even more than being declared righteous. That's justification. That's the judge pronouncing the verdict. We actually have the righteousness of God. He's kind of poured it into us. So there's the legal declaration, and then there's the supernatural infusion. The legal declaration, not guilty, declared righteous. The supernatural infusion, I'm actually going to put my righteousness in you. The truest thing about us is what God says is true. We're new creatures, creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We are the very righteousness of God in Jesus Christ because we've received that righteousness and we've been reconciled to God. It's our new spiritual identity. And what this passage is saying is for any person, even today, here on our campus or watching online, if you would say yes to Jesus Christ and receive his offer, he will make you a new creation. And if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, it's the truest thing about you because God says it's true. We have a new spiritual identity. And this passage goes on to say, because of that, we have a new calling. So every follower of Jesus Christ has a new calling. Verse 19 says, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That word ministry is the Greek word diakonia. It means a service. an orientation. It's a calling. It's a mission. It's a life purpose. It's a destiny. Do you know one of the biggest issues that all of us think about and talk about, one of the biggest questions I get as a pastor is people trying to come to grips with, what's God's purpose for my life? What's God's will for my life? What should I be doing with my life? There's something inside of us, and I think it's God designed because he created us in his image, that we want our lives to count for something. We want our lives to be transcendent. We want it to be bigger than just, you know, making big ones in the little ones. We want it to be bigger than just, you know, making money. We want it to be bigger than just kind of saying, I lived and I died and hopefully I did something in between. We want our lives to count for something. Well, guess what? God satisfies that desire and actually says, this is what your life counts for. If you're a new creation in Jesus Christ, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God says, what I'm all about is reconciling people back to myself. And for everybody who has been reconciled to me, guess what? I recruit them into my service to be the means by which people get reconciled. That's a good deal. God has a purpose for your life. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a calling on your life, and it's the ministry of reconciliation. It's helping other people get reconciled to God. That's what our lives are all about as followers of Jesus. That's why Jesus said back in Matthew 4:19 when he called his first disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what our life purpose is. It's to be about the ministry of reconciliation. He goes on and explains it in further in verse 20. He says, therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. He says, we have this new identity calling where we're ambassadors for Christ. The interesting thing about this term, ambassador, it's a Greek word, presbuomen. If you heard that, now, I'm going to half my audience is going to check out right now. So don't check out. If you heard that phrase, we are ambassadors for Christ, if you knew a little bit about grammar, you would think that's a noun. But it's really a verb. In the Greek language, it's a verb. So what he's really saying is, we are those who do the work of ambassadorship. And it's a present tense verb. Our identity is what we do, and what we do is ambassadorizing people for Jesus. We represent Jesus. We represent Jesus on this earth. Every follower of Jesus Christ is an ambassador doing the work of ambassadorship. Now, some of us aren't very good ambassadors. But others of us are great ambassadors. See, an ambassador represents someone else to an audience. We represent King Jesus to the world. Now, one of the things about ambassadors is, you know, whether in a present-day application, like ambassador to Israel or ambassador to Canada or ambassador to Argentina, the ambassador has an embassy. And the embassy, it's interesting, an embassy may exist in a country, but that embassy, the property of that embassy doesn't belong to the host country. It belongs to the country that is being represented. So the Russian embassy in the United States doesn't belong to the United States, it belongs to Russia. The United States embassy in Israel doesn't belong to Israel, it belongs to the United States. The ambassador represents and lives in an embassy. Okay, where are you going with that? We represent King Jesus, and our embassy is the kingdom. And wherever we are, that's where the kingdom is. See, I'm standing here, the kingdom of God is here, because I represent the king. Wherever you live, your house is an embassy to that neighborhood, and you're the ambassador. Wherever you work, your cubicle, your workspace, your area where you do whatever you do for a living, That's your embassy, and you're the ambassador. This church is the embassy to South Orange County, and all of us as believers in Jesus here at Crossline, we're the ambassadors. We represent King Jesus, and everywhere we go, we take the kingdom. That's the significance of our calling in Jesus Christ. We have a new calling. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation, and we are ambassadors for Christ. And then he says, as though God were making his appeal through us. God speaks through us. God speaks through us. You know, I have a little granddaughter. I love playing with her, and she has all these stuffed animals. And I will take her stuffed animals. One of them we call Pinky the Pig. And I will take Pinky the Pig, and I'll talk to her as if it's Pinky the Pig talking. So I'll hold Pinky the Pig in front of her, and, oh, Hallie, how are you? It's Pinky the Pig. And I have a whole dialogue. Now, I'm speaking through Pinky the Pig. God speaks through us when we talk about Jesus. Right now, God is speaking through me to you. I'm not saying that as a boast. I'm saying that as a biblical fact. God's speaking to me and to me and through me to you. This is a message from God. I'm kind of like the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God and a message from God. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying to every one of us as believers of Jesus, part of our calling. When we talk to our neighbors, when we talk to our friends, when we talk to our coworkers about Jesus, God is making an appeal through us to them. Why? Because God loves everybody. God loves you, and God loves your neighbors, and God loves your coworkers, and God loves everyone on the planet, and God is in the business of reconciliation, and so he uses us to be part of his reconciliation army. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Working together with him. Part of our calling is that we are co-workers with God. It's true about us. If we're new people in Christ, anyone is in Christ, we're a new creation. Old things passed away, new things have come. What's part of those new things? Well, we've been reconciled to God. We've received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. We represent the King. God speaks through us. We are co-workers with God in the mission that God has in the world. Your life couldn't be any more significant than being a follower of Jesus Christ because you are a new creation. And as a new creation, you've got a new calling. And your calling is to be a co-worker with God to help as many people as possible be reconciled to God. That's who you are. And that's what you're called to do. And anyone, wherever they are in the spiritual journey, if they'll cross that line of faith and say yes to Jesus Christ, that immediately becomes true of them. It's part of our identity, and it's part of our calling. Can you imagine being in a business? You have an LLC, and your partner is God. You and God are the co-owners of that business. It's amazing. We are co-workers with God in the business of giving God's grace away to people. Living out of grace, speaking words of grace, being in relationships based on grace so that people could be reconciled to God. Because that's what God is most concerned about, helping people come back into a relationship with him. We got a new identity. We got a new message as well. A new message, this passage says. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting their trespasses against them. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. This great message of the gospel, this great message that anyone can get back into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. God was in Christ. Don't let the simplicity of that statement kind of just come into your mind and go out. God was in Christ. Jesus of Nazareth is unique. Pastor Taylor gave us a new word, phulio. I'll give you a new word here. Nonpareil. Means without equal. Jesus is nonpareil, without equal. He's unique. Why? He's the God-man. God was in Christ. Jesus is fully God and fully man. That baby in the manger, fully God and fully man. That baby who grew up into a young man, fully God and fully man. That young man who performed miracles, fully God and fully man. That young man who preached the Sermon on the Mount, fully God and fully man. The young man who was nailed to a cross and died for the sins of the whole world, fully God and fully man. God was in Christ. God was in Christ for a purpose. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, what we couldn't do, God did for us. None of us in our humanity and just being good people could overcome the barrier of sin that caused us to be separated from God. None of us in all of our religious efforts could overcome the barrier of sin that caused us to be separated from God. So what we couldn't do, God did. God came into our world in Christ, fully God and fully man, and he reconciled us back to God. And how did he do it? By not counting our trespasses against us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid the penalty for all of our sin. This is the message that we're to share with people. This is the message we're to believe to come into a relationship with him. God was in Christ reconciling us back to God, not counting our trespasses against us. Well, you know, that word trespass is it's an interesting word, periptoma. It's not the word that's just the general word for sin. See, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That word is from the Greek word harmartano, which just means to miss the mark or to fall short. All of us fall short. All of us miss the mark, separated from God. No, this word trespass has a more deliberate, willful idea behind it. It means that there's a path that we're to walk on and we willfully choose to step off the path. I know this because I know myself and I know human nature. Most of us here, probably at some time in our ill-spent youth, came across some sign that said no trespassing and it didn't stop us and we went ahead and trespassed. And we went on the other side of the line. We climbed the barbed wire fence. We went into the building. We walked down the road. We did whatever it told us not to do. Said no trespassing. We trespassed anyway. That's what this word means. Every command in the Bible is like a no trespassing sign. And whenever you break it, you just trespassed. And every person has not only sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every person has willfully chosen to step off the path and trespass. And what this passage says, this is the good news of the gospel. This is what's true of every new person in Christ. It's what we get to share with people, that God was in Christ reconciling us back to God, not counting those things against us. God doesn't count it against us. He forgives us. He declares us not guilty. He puts his righteousness into us when we have faith in Jesus Christ. Part of our message is that God was in Christ, not counting our trespasses against us. And he says in verse 20, so we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Part of our messaging is to beg people on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. You mean beg people? Yeah, beg people. The word is de'amai. It means to desire, to want, to beg. Sometimes it's the term used for prayer, to pray. Let me just ask here, and I can't see at home, but I bet it's going to be the same response. How many of you here have ever prayed a prayer out of desperation? You were actually begging God to do something for you. Just raise your hand if you've ever prayed it that way. That's what this word is. And the way he's using this word is, we who've been reconciled, who are new creations, who are fulfilling our calling as ambassadors for Christ, sharing this message with people, we beg people, please, accept God's offer of forgiveness. Don't stay stuck. Don't stay condemned. Don't stay under his wrath. Don't stay in despair. Don't stay in fear. Don't stay in bondage. Be set free. Be forgiven. Receive God's offer. Be reconciled. That's what it says as part of our messaging. I have the rare privilege of sharing this message with you all here this morning. And I can't say this without begging you, don't stay separated from God. Be reconciled. Don't stay stuck. Be reconciled. Don't stay in despair. Be reconciled. Don't stay in bondage. Be reconciled. God loves you. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to be your substitute, to reconcile you back to himself. He's not counting your trespasses against you. And it's an offer that he makes freely to every one of us. And we get to give that offer away to others. Part of our messaging in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he says, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, this is interesting. What does that mean to receive the grace of God in vain? Well, first, I got to give you a little bit of the context of this. This message I'm giving is part of a passage of Scripture, which is part of a book, the book of 2 Corinthians. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. So this message is written to the church. You mean in the church at Corinth, there were people who possibly were receiving the grace of God in vain? Yes. Because in every church, everywhere, in every age, in every culture, it's just made up of people. Right here. It's just people. People from South Orange County, here at Crossline. People here who are at different places in the spiritual journey. Some of us have heard the message and we've just said no to it. Some of us have received it thinking it would do something for us. It didn't do what we thought it would do for us, and we've just been kind of stuck. Others of us have received it, we believe it, but even though we believe it, there's parts of our lives that we're not living in line with it. And then there's some of us who are just all in, following Jesus. And it could be quite possible that some of us, even here this morning, or watching online this morning, could receive the grace of God in vain. So what does that mean? Because I don't want to receive the grace of God in vain. What would that mean? Well, first of all, in the context, I think what it would mean is to not be fully embracing and being transformed by what he's talking about here. So to receive the grace of God in its immediate context would be to be hearing this message of being made new in Christ and being reconciled and being an ambassador for Christ, but not doing that. Not living in that new life. Not walking in the identity of being ambassador. And not trying to do anything to help people be reconciled. You're hearing a message about it, but you're not letting it transform you. That's receiving the grace of God in vain. I think in the larger context, it's illustrated by Jesus in one of his parables. It's a parable that's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's called the parable of the four soils because it's a story where Jesus says a farmer goes out and plants the seed. And he's talking about a farmer who's kind of walking around and just throwing out the seed, right? And he says the seed lands in different kind of soil. And depending on the kind of soil it lands in, there's a different result. So some seed falls in a soil that he calls the hard ground. And it's because it's hard, the seed can't get planted and a bird just comes and eats it. Another seed falls in a soil that he calls the rocky ground. So the seed is immediately received, but it doesn't get a chance to have a firm root. And as soon as there's rains, it just washes out the plant. No fruit. Another seed is called the weedy ground. The seed is received, but there's a lot of thorns and weeds. And even though the seed is received and starts to grow up, the other stuff choke it so it doesn't produce fruit. And then he says there's this good soil. The seed lands in that. Well, that's received, and the seed gets planted, and the plant grows up, and then there's a lot of fruit that gets produced. Then Jesus gives the interpretation, and he says, I'm the farmer, and the seed is my word, the gospel. Some people's hearts are like that hard soil. They hear it, but they don't believe it, and they reject it. And the evil one actually snatches it away. The rocky soil is like the person who receives it with all kinds of joy because they want it to do something for them desperately. But when it doesn't do what they expected or wanted, they basically say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Then there's the soil that's the weedy soil. They believe it. They hear it. They receive it. But there's a bunch of other stuff too, you know. The desires for riches and worldly things and the cares of this world and all of that stuff compete with the seed. So it starts to grow, but it doesn't really produce much fruit. And then there's the good soil, the person who receives it, understands it, applies it, and is transformed by it, and they're fruitful. At the Church of Corinth, at the Church of Crossline, there are people of all kinds of soil. There are people at different places in the spiritual journey. And the grace of God is being offered. God says, don't receive it in vain. In fact, what he says, quoting from the book of Isaiah, at the acceptable time I listened to you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Part of our messaging is to say to people, you can be reconciled to God, and now's the time. So let me say that. You can be reconciled to God. And now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. And that reconciliation may be from being a place where you've rejected it to saying, I accept it now, wholeheartedly. It may be from a place of saying, I tried that once, but it didn't work, to say, but I'm all in. I want to follow Jesus now. It may be from a place that's saying, I believe in Jesus, but there's some parts of my life that aren't right, and I need to get them right. I need to be reconciled and come to God and know that all my sins and trespasses aren't being counted against me. And it may be from a place of saying, I'm following Jesus, and man, I am all in. I'm living in that salvation, and I'm sharing that salvation message with everyone that God gives me the opportunity to share it with. See, the call to reconciliation is to the church. That means it's to us. And today is the day. And now is the time. And so I'd like everyone here at Crossline, whether you're in our auditorium or out on our patio, just to stand up. Would you please just stand up where you are? If you're at home watching, just join with us. We're in this together. Stand up. God is making his appeal through me. Be reconciled to God. Today is the day, and now is the moment. It's your opportunity, wherever you are in the spiritual journey, to have the absolute certainty that God isn't counting your trespasses against you. It's your opportunity, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, to be reconciled to God and know that you're not receiving the grace of God in vain, but instead you're receiving the grace of God the way it should be received, so it's transforming your life and giving you the absolute security of God's love for you and forgiveness over you and call on your life. If you're at home, what I'd like you to do is just press that connect button online and it takes you to a form, and there's an opportunity for you to say, I'm giving my life to Christ right now, today. Would you just fill that out and let us know that you are being reconciled to God? For those of you here, outside and in here, this is your invitation. And God says, now is the time. And so I'm just going to invite you, wherever you may be, to come forward, to make a bold move, to come right up to the front. And again, wherever you are in this spiritual journey, it's not just for the people who've been rejecting. It's for the whole church to not receive the grace of God in vain. And so if you're saying yes to Jesus Christ, at whatever level you need to be reconciled, then boldly come up here to the front. It's your invitation to say before God publicly, I'm following hard after Jesus Christ. Sergio, would you just lead us in this song of invitation? Don't let anything stop you. Today is the acceptable day, and now is the time of salvation.